As the weather starts to cool down, I'm really excited about everything this season brings. New opportunities, fresh goals, and yes, even the wardrobe change. I love the feeling of shifting gears as fall kicks in, whether it's in business or life. So as we all make the transition, I hope you're as excited as I am to embrace the season with a new perspective and maybe a few wardrobe upgrades from Quince. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. And they partner with them directly, cutting out the cost of the middleman and passing the savings on to you. I recently picked up their Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater and an incredible performance chino pants, and they've quickly become go-to staples for me. As someone who's constantly traveling for speaking engagements or business meetings, I need clothes that not only look great, but also feel amazing. And these pieces absolutely deliver. Upgrade your wardrobe with pieces made to last with Quince. Go to quince.com/playbook for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince. quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and a 365-day returns. quince.com/playbook.
David Mouse, my good friend, thanks for coming on the Keep Telling Yourself webinar.
Thanks for having me on the Keep Telling Yourself webinar. I'm so excited to hopefully extend a different perspective on the impact that you're having in the world in the book, and then hopefully sharing some of my own perspective to your book and ideas.
So Dave, as we talk about this, and obviously you and I are very close, we spent a lot of time together, so I know your story and your history and the power that narrative has had on your life, both good and bad. Can you give everybody just kind of a real quick synopsis of, who you are, what you do, and how you've gotten to where you are today?
Yeah, first of all, I'm blessed. I am happy, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, and I'm worthy, but I always haven't been. I've lived a life in the world of not enough, like many of us, with a single mom and six kids, moved into a world of for me, not to me as a victim, but for me, which I thought was an optimistic world, one that I thought was growth, that everything happened for me, but it still was a scarce world of trading and negotiating. Even my giving was trading and negotiating. Everything in my life had a scarcity component to it. And today, instead of the world of this is what I want people to think I am, buying shit I don't need to impress people I don't like, I live in a world of I am happy, healthy, wealthy, worthy. And my main purpose is to figure out what I'm doing and what other people are doing to interfere with what they already are, with their potential, and to find their best light through values and practices and executing on those in a consistent, persistent manner. And for me, professionally, ran the most notable sports agency in the world, got hired there at Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. They made the movie Jerry Maguire about our firm because not I was a great lawyer, not because I was an amazing sports agent, but because I had an incredible background in two things, technology and in venture capital. And Lee Steinberg saw the future of sports in technology and venture capital, which led me to run one of the most successful global sports marketing companies with Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon, which led me to my own media mission of empowering over 1 billion people to be happy by finding 1,000 people like you, Chad, that will empower 1,000 to empower 1,000 with your speaking, your podcast, and of course your book. I know that I'm well on my way to the exponentiality of what my mission and my calling is to teach people to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. And the biggest lesson I learned to move from, by the way, the world of just enough to this world of abundance that I live in is I was blessed to lose everything, over $100 million and going bankrupt. And in that 17-year journey to understand the protection, promotion, perfection of God and his divine detour in my life has saved my life and has saved me and has led me to where I am today in a world of more than enough of everything for everyone.
Yeah. So I know this. First of all, thank you for that. I think, as people get more context about you and they have followed you and read your books, something that dawned on me, and I never asked you this question as long as I've known you, and I know that you lost $100 million. And I think there's a general perception out there, and maybe it's just a judgment that I have or perception that I have, that I said, man, if I had $100 million, I would never be poor again. There's no way. I'm saying, you give me $100 million, I will be rich forever. I will have, like, that's a lot of, $100 million is a lot of money. And yet you lost $100 million. And tell people about it. How does somebody lose, not the tactics, but like, what was the mindset? What was the narrative of, I got this $100 million, and then how do you lose and literally become bank, almost become bankrupt at $100 million?
Well, first of all, I used to tell myself the same thing. And, you know, that's part of the problem is that I didn't ask for help. You know, I thought I knew what I didn't know. And, you know, there's something bigger than you and I, Chad. And it's here to protect, promote, love, and protect and perfect us. And sometimes when we don't see where we're going there and we're not in a divine direction, these things have no explanation. The circumstances, the evolution of losing that to me was to learn the lesson of humility. My favorite quote still today is, you're either humble or you're about to be. And I thought I understood that I never would have to work again. But, you know, a few little circumstances that change the course of your humility put me in that place. Let me tell you just technically how it happened so people can see how things snowball. So I'm worth over $100 million. I have almost every property I own, from my golf course to my ski mountain to 33 homes in San Diego alone, all are doing well. And I know there's going to be a downturn in the market. That's not the problem. The problem is I'm not paying attention to my family. I'm not paying attention to my job and my finances. And I don't have faith. I only have wisdom. And so what happened was I got into a lawsuit with one of the properties that I bought that didn't have a white paper. I was a victim, quote unquote, of fraud. And so to me, I let my ego get in my way. My wife exacerbated and accelerated my ego, and I wanted to prove I was right. So I, instead of just settling the lawsuit, I exaggerated it and accelerated it, knowing that I had $40 million line of credit at my private bank that I'd been with for over 15 years since my mid-20s. And I needed $5 million. Everything was going well in my life. I worked for Lee Steinberg. I had money. I had assets that were doing well. I wasn't upside down. I didn't buy these things. You know, I built my golf course. It went from $12 million to $120 million in value. And I was a partner in that with only three other people. But here's what happened. I go in 2008 to go grab $5 million, mostly for the lawsuit. And my guy, Chris, that had been there with me 15 years, I said, hey, is Chris here? I need to draw down on my line of credit. And they're like, oh, Chris didn't call you? He's not here anymore. Huh? I said, well, I need to draw down $5 million. I got a $40 million line of credit. Oh, nobody called you? We have a $1 million limit. You need to reapply. Now, that God moment for me, it may not seem like a very big deal, but it was, because I didn't have time to reapply, nor were they going to give me $40 million, let alone $5 million, because the bank was going under. And that was just them telling me they don't have the money. So now I'm looking for money, but I have a full machine running with all these properties, golf course, ski mountain, and lawsuit. And I drained through, you know, $5-6 million in cash before I could get any more financing. And now everyone's having trouble. And pretty soon I'm getting more and more stuck in a financial hurricane, which led me to make a critical decision to go bankrupt and to start over. But it wasn't just to financially start over. It was truly for me an emotional decision to start my life over with not only wisdom and asking for help, but most importantly, faith, because God now is my steward and humility is the mechanism of that stewardship.
I talk about resilience and overcoming quite the obstacle. What would you say you put into place then and even now? Like, what daily practices and habits or behaviors do you put in place that are the most impactful at maintaining this positive mindset and maintaining, like, overcoming, you know, so many challenges throughout your journey?
Yeah, daily practices themselves are the daily practice that I have, and they're ever improving and ever progressing. The basic context that I put or framework on my practices is what I call the 5 daily practices. And I love sending them out for free to people because they have evolved. And the 5 daily practices are, number one, what is it I want today according to the circumstances of today, personally, experientially, giving, receiving? What meaning of the past do I need to derive for today in the circumstances of today that are aligned with my divine direction, where I think I want to be or better, knowing that the only 2 limitations in my divine direction are either the meaning I give the past or my own self-image, my own imagination. Those are the only 2 things that will limit me. And so the first practice is, what is it I want today? Which takes the nothingness that most people live in. I always say most people on earth live like tubes, food in, food out. That's their whole life. That's a nothingness. If you want to live with possibility, all you got to do is figure out, what do I want today in the circumstances that exist today in the divine direction of where I think I want to be or better? The second daily practice, I know my who. This is how I went bankrupt, right? Who can help me, or who can I help get to where they want to be or better, or who can help me get to where I want to be or better? That takes every possibility and makes it a probability, another mathematical advantage. Then I take time and say, how, according to the 24 hours today and the circumstances of today, how can I utilize my time in alignment with the divine direction of where I think I want to be or better? So I have negotiables and non-negotiable time that I spend according to the circumstances of the day, the lessons of the past, and the divine direction that I think I want to be in. Now that I know my what, possibility, who, probability, how gives me perspective for the day, I know what's important to me in reality today, according to the actual circumstances of today, interest rates, COVID, whatever circumstances there are, which allows me to create my own reality by prioritizing my now. I always say, know your now. 100% of the things you do now and do next get done. It's the most statistically successful thing. It's actually the antidote to feeling overwhelmed and procrastinating, because it's impossible to feel overwhelmed if you know what to do now. It's also impossible to procrastinate if you do it now or do it next, which then leads to the 5th daily practice. Now that I have a reality, I want to make that reality even better. So I call it apply my why. I don't search for my why. That's denying God in my life. I'm applying God to my life. I'm applying my why. And the mechanism that I use in the application of why is to identify what I'm doing to interfere with God. Not trying to find God, not trying to find my why, but in the human experience, what am I doing to interfere with God? And so for me, I use something that's instant and obvious of interfering with God, which is my reaction, the way I react to fear, to ego. So I've come up with a long list, like a need to be right, a need to be offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, worried. All of these emotions, all these energies interfere with me and God. And so I identify the instant and obvious, because when you're pissed off, Chad and Morgan, you know it. You don't got to go to a therapist to figure out you're mad. You can figure out why you're mad with a therapist, but it's irrelevant to me, because all I want to do is not be mad and be at ease. And so yeah. I practice stopping, not out-logicking, analyzing, going over, under, through, around, lying to, cheating, manipulating reasons why I'm mad. Instead, I just stop. I remind, remember, and recollect by breathing through my nose, out through my mouth. I remind, remember, and recollect my God, my omniscient, all-powerful source of love, truth, and energy. And now I'm ready, at ease, to roll into the divine direction again. Instead of accelerating in the wrong direction, creating more interference in my life, creating more ego, edging God out of my life, instead, I'm rolling into what do I want, who I can help, how best to get it done, reprioritizing my day by what's important to me, doing it now and doing it next, and then increasing my application of why, my application of God into my better self every single day.
So good. I hope my team is listening because number four talked about being overwhelmed and just how you handle the tasks. Like,
yeah,
to me, that was huge. I've got a follow up if you don't mind. So I know you're big into purpose and your why, and you just touched on it, which is what generated this thought. But for those that are listening to this and that are struggling with identifying their why, what are some steps they can take to develop that thought for them?
Well, first, seek wisdom, which I said earlier is the fastest way to find wisdom is to find someone that already has the wisdom that you want. Podcasts, books, like Keep Telling Yourself, speeches, coaches, mentorship, all of those different things are how we actually find purpose, is find the people who have purpose in the position that we want to be or better, but also help other people with their purpose. And so in that context of probability, in the context of inspiration, is the united, unified system of thought. And to do that is actually easier than you think. And purpose is with you and others. This is a abundant, infinite, unified system of thought. You have to participate, coordinate, collaborate within that context of the system in order to effectuate clearing the interference between you and your purpose. Because that purpose exists not only through faith that there's something bigger than you, an omniscient, all-powerful source that loves you more than your mom, but also the wisdom of other people that already know that or are practicing it.
This is so good. I obviously, you and I have a really, really close relationship, and we talk about our faith a lot and give thanks to God above all things. But I want to ask you about the second one. And this is something that you've really taught me over the last 3-4 years that we've formed our relationship. This number two, and that is the who. And I think this is where people struggle. I think, you know, I one of the reasons I love the fact that you're in my community is because your current reality, there are parts of your current reality that I want for my future realities. And I understand that. But the challenge is most people either don't have enough self-love or self-belief to go to somebody and ask for help or be willing to receive the help that others are giving. And this is where I think people struggle is most people have learned or created, I believe, in their life, they become supporting cast in their own life. And it's all about giving my time, giving my energy, giving my money. And I hear people say, that person will give the shirt off their back. Well, okay, that's the easy part. Would you be willing to receive the shirt off of somebody else's back? Most people will not. And so how do we reconcile that, Dave?
Yeah, it's understanding the facade of giving, a construct of good intention that has been miscommunicated for generations historically. There's a problem in that giving the shirt off the back, which leads us to a truth that is misinterpreted and miscommunicated, which is the more you give, the more you will receive. And it's almost a passive receiving. And it reminds me of the movie The Secret, which, by the way, I'm in the second movie called Beyond the Secret on Netflix. And it was funny because inherently I knew there was something wrong with the guy that was sitting in his lounge chair dreaming about a Ferrari and thinking he would receive a Ferrari because he's sitting in a lounge chair dreaming about a Ferrari. Now, here's what I've learned. It's not the more you give, the more you will receive. It's the more you give, the more you're given. And there's a big difference because one, the whole more you give, the more you receive means, hey, I'm giving out my actions, my thoughts, my words, my feelings and belief, and someone's going to drive a Ferrari up into my driveway and hand me the keys. That's not how it works. You see, if the more you give, the more you're given, you actually have to utilize gratitude to actually be aware of all that you're given and forgiveness about the mistakes that you make trying to give all you can and also to identify what you're given. So for example, I lost over $100 million. I lost my mom's house, which was the only reason I wanted to be rich, was to buy her a house. At that time, I found it very difficult to believe I was given anything other than punishment. But when I started to institute the five daily practices and the value of gratitude and forgiveness, I started to find the light, the love, and the lessons in that quote-unquote punishment. I started to forgive myself and improve myself and receive so much more than I had given. And within the context of that wisdom came some great faith. And the greatest testament or illustration of faith in my belief is to pray or to ask for everything that I want. That's what it is. So there's this infinite loop. Instead of giving the shirt off your back and then taking less, you know, I gave a jacket and I'm asking for, and it's okay, I just need a t-shirt. Well, if you keep doing those types of trading 100% for less, eventually you're going to end up at zero.
Yeah.
So for me, what I'm teaching people in this context, and it doesn't necessarily need to be money. It could be help. Give more. Elevate your awareness to be given more. Receive more out of worthiness and faith. But most importantly, ask for more than more. So you can give more than more, be given more than more, receive more than more, and ask for more than more than more. You see where Chad and I are going to end up when we're 80? In a world of more than enough of everything for everyone, because we're practicing not only giving everything we have, but finding or seeing what we're given, receiving it all in gratitude, but even more illustrating our faith that, man, there's more than enough for everyone. Why wouldn't I ask for even more than this now? So I could even do this again in a greater capacity than I did it before, instead of some zero sum game where I keep diminishing and dissipating everything I have.
Yeah, this resonates with me. Obviously we've talked at depth about this, but this resonates with me more than anything I think in my life. And that is this idea that if I give, and I'll use money, but it's like, to your point, I want to make sure that people understand here, it is not about financials. It's about what you have. And every human being, God has a plan for all of us. But I think there's a season of life. Sometimes I have a ton of money, but I don't have time. I have a ton of wisdom, but I don't have money. There's always something you can give. And so if I get to your point, Dave, if I give $100 to somebody and I say, that's all right, I'll only take 50 back. Well, now I only have 50 to give. And now I give 50 back and I say, oh, I'll only take 30. It's a net zero gain. Like, I'm eventually not going to have anything to give. I'm going to be broke. But if I say, hey, I'm going to give 100 back and I'm willing to receive 120 back, now I have 120 to give and I'm going to receive 140 back, and then I'm going to get, so I'm moving up, I'm not moving down, and I can magnify my giving the more I'm willing to magnify my getting. Is that giving? Is that correct?
Dave? Yeah, everybody wins, because
everybody
each
wins
time you elevate what you have, you're giving it away to help more people. So now they have more.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think there's a concept or a psychological, or I don't know what you'd call it, but a fundamental thought or belief you must have that you're worthy of all of this?
Yeah, I believe it's faith in God. So, I mean, if you don't believe there, you know, I use this example, I think you've heard me say this before, but if Chad and I were eating dinner and they delivered 100 meals to our table, just Chad and I are sitting there. I know Chad wouldn't feel bad about asking for his 2 meals, 3 meals, 4 meals. I know the people at the next door table wouldn't feel bad, and we certainly wouldn't feel bad about giving it away. Well, if you have faith in God, that there's an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source of everything for everyone, well, then every table's full. Every item is full that you want. So when you tell yourself, I'm not worthy, I feel bad about asking, I feel guilty, what are you telling God? That he's not enough.
Yeah.
You're telling God he's not enough. You're saying, you know what? I kind of believe in you, God, but I really don't. Because if I did, I would know there's more than enough. And you would be blessed the same way I am when I give to my children. You would be blessed to be able to provide what your child wants to your child. And people get lost in that all the time. And so I think, and I know it salts some people, like, well, you really don't have faith because you're not asking for more. And they're like, that's a really scarce, greedy attitude. I'm like, no, because I'm giving everything I have away. So I'm just a conduit to God.
I'm just a vessel. I'm a vehicle. I'm a vehicle to deliver God's abundance. I'm a vehicle to spread more of his abundance to as many people as possible.
I'm an embodiment of God. I'm the human experience of God. I'm an embodiment. I'm the hands and feet of God to deliver the goodies.
Yeah.
And I'm so when Amazon you... I'm the Amazon of God, except for he's even bigger than Amazon.
Imagine starting a small business. Your first customer, your first hire, your first real paycheck. It's an exciting time, but also a little scary. That's where JustWorks comes in. As an all-in-one platform, JustWorks supports small business growth by providing seamless tools for benefits, payroll, HR, and compliance, all with transparent pricing. Running payroll is now painless. You can complete it in 90 seconds or less and automate payments. So it's as simple as set it and forget it. In 2023 alone, JustWorks processed over 25.6 billion in trusted payroll for its customers. And you won't have to worry about paperwork. They handle payroll, tax documents, and reporting to ensure compliance. Visit justworks.com/podcast to join thousands of small businesses that trust JustWorks to manage payroll, benefits, compliance, and more. That's justworks.com/podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, everyone. I want to take a moment to talk about gratitude. In our fast-paced lives, we often forget to appreciate the people around us. And sometimes we even forget to appreciate ourselves. So today, let's pause and give thanks not only to others, but also to ourselves for the hard work we put in every day. It's so important to recognize that doing our best, especially in challenging times, is an accomplishment. Now, have you ever thought about starting therapy, or if you're looking for a new perspective, consider giving BetterHelp a try. Therapy offers tools to build resilience, set boundaries, and grow into the best version of yourself. And with BetterHelp, everything is designed to be convenient and flexible, fully online to fit right into your schedule. Let the gratitude flow with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/playbook today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/playbook.
When I don't believe in this, or when I don't believe I'm worthy, or when I don't, that's true ego. That is edging God out, EGO. That is edging God out of my life because God must have got, I know better. I know better than God. It's not about me. It's not about God. And when I say I'm not worthy, I'm making it about me. When I'm believing that, I'm making it about me, which doesn't make it about God. And that's true ego. And so one last question about this. So in this whole transformation from being down $100 million to being back up $100 million to being the vessel to be, and now you are the, and I want to get your title right, but you are the tip of the spear when all things think and grow rich. Like, this is such an amazing honor.
I'm chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute, Think and Grow Rich, Outwin the Devil. I'm the chairman worldwide of Napoleon Hill, over 500 million books sold.
Yeah, unbelievable. The chairman of Think and Grow Rich. So think about, I'm down $100 million. I'm bankrupt. I lose my mother's house. My mother's house is gone. You feel like a failure. You're going through one of those shift moments. Now, looking back, now you're the chairman of the largest in the world, the largest growth organization in the world, and besides the Bible, the most powerful book written, I think, for me anyway, Think and Grow Rich. How has the narrative changed? How has the story and that narrative in your life changed from those two wide, dramatic differences?
To be honest, I started to listen to the people that loved me the most, to the respect that I was lost. I created an identity that I needed to shift. I created an identity of my bank account, of how much money I had. And I give myself forgiveness because the only time I wasn't happy was because of financial stress.
Morgan, if he's reconnected, what are your thoughts about what he's saying?
Well, to me, I'll be vulnerable in this moment. I feel like he's reiterating so much of the coaching you've been giving me lately. You know, the stories that I'm telling myself are not true, challenging the truth behind them. Yeah. And what I feel I'm capable or worthy of. I mean, it's like, I feel like I'm having deja vu in this moment.
What's been the hardest thing for you? He's logging back in now. What's been the hardest thing for you? I see you getting emotional. What's the hardest thing for you that you've had to do to shift your narrative to this idea that you are created and worthy of this abundance and being given more so you can give more?
I think it's the belief, like believing in myself, believing in the journey, believing in what I'm capable of. And I still struggle with it. You and I just talked about this on the way home from Vegas the other day. But I think the biggest shift moment I've had recently is all of these things that just keep happening to me. Like, I know I'm starting to believe in it. I know that my story is shifting. I know that the things I'm telling myself have improved because God, the universe, whatever, is giving back. Like, I feel like I'm getting more because I'm giving more, exactly what he's saying.
What are you seeing? Like, give me an example of what are you seeing can you give me an example of something you're seeing that's saying, all right, I've opened myself to this idea and this possibility that maybe I am worthy, that I am capable of more. You've shifted your narrative. Give me an example of how that works.
So recently I shared on LinkedIn. I've struggled with this whole idea. You know, I've come from a background before I started working for you where I've spoken in front of people. I've been confident in rooms of many, but since I've started working for you and seeing you speak and being in different circles, having the belief that I am capable to be on a stage or on a platform and share something of value to a room full of leaders or people in general. And I don't know, 2 weeks ago, I spoke it to you for the very first time.
After 6 years of knowing that you wanted to say it, you actually spoke and say, no, I want to speak on stage. And what happened 24 hours later?
I was asked to speak in Texas.
Out of the blue.
And the next day was asked to speak again.
So for 6 years, Dave, did you hear this? Dave,
yeah.
For 6 years, she was fighting the statement of professing and declaring that she is worthy to speak on a stage. She breaks down and says to me, Chad, you're right. I've been afraid.
His favorite word.
Right. Chad's my favorite word. Chad, you're right. I've been afraid to admit that I want to speak on a stage. She says it. And I said, do you remember what I said to you? I said, the world will
open up.
The world will open up to you the minute you declare what you believe you're worthy of and that you want in this world. And within 48 hours, two people randomly contacted her and asked her if she would come to a speaking gig. She didn't change anything. She just changed what she declared in the world, Dave.
Yeah, those two powerful words, I am, you know, and when we look at I am and say, what am I doing to interfere with it? That's when the world opens up and starts providing what we are and dissipates and dissolves the interference once we identify it. And that's why every day I tell myself, I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, and I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? Because that encompasses that passion, purpose, and profitability in my life.
But Dave, so Dave, in the, we talk a lot about this in the book, Keep Telling Yourself, but you know, people hear that and people are like, come on, you mean that if I look in the mirror, and this goes back to Think and Grow Rich, if I look in the mirror and I say, I am happy, I am healthy, I am abundant, and I say those things, that's really going to change my life? Like, how does that work? Obviously, you got to have faith in God. But what is saying that and believing it have to do with the reality that you actually get?
Yeah, I have a little supplement to that. What it's really saying, I do, because it's, pay attention to what you want. I want to speak. Now I'm starting to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
But you have to have five levels of intention to equal the coincidences, the coinciding of three people calling you within 48 hours to speak, the results and consequences that you want. So the math equation is not only pay attention to what you want. I am happy, but then give it your intention to equal the coincidences. What am I going to do today? What am I going to say today? What am I going to think today? Yeah. What am I going to believe today? And what am I going to feel today in alignment with I am healthy, or I am a speaker, or I am a billionaire, or I am whatever it is you want to in your life. So there's a lot more to it, because you have to be consistent every day, persistent without quit, in the pursuit of your intention by utilizing that intention, doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing to equal the coincidences, the coinciding of the universe. And Morgan's example is the coinciding of the universe. You call it the universe opening up, but she was paying attention to what she wanted. And then she got intentional. She spoke to you about it. She got on stage and did it. She believed it. She felt it. And then the universe said, aha, here's the coincidence. Two more speeches for you. What a coincidence. That's a mathematical equation. That's the universe coinciding with your attention and intention.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, what do I say to this? So, I am grateful. I am grateful for Chad, your lessons, Dave, like, you know, gratitude. How you talk so much about that practice, but I'm sure there are several leaders on this call. How can you coach them to lean into gratitude in high pressure environments, whether it's with their team, with their family, whatever, but leaning into the thought behind it and how they can use that in their leadership?
Yeah, I think understanding gratitude just not as a platitude, you know, even though it does work as a platitude, meaning that, you know, it takes 0.1 seconds to be grateful, and it's free, and it has the most impact on your life because it creates perspective. So as a platitude, you could say thank you before you go to bed, or you could say it when you wake up. And if you do it consistently every day, knowing that the simple things like saying thank you are actually simple not to do, because human beings don't like to do shit every day, even if it costs nothing and it takes 0.1 seconds. It took me 9 months before I could do it for an entire month without missing a day. There's just something about the human id, the human experience, and the human nature that says, no, you know, you're going to have to work at this. Even though it's simple to do, you're going to have to work at it and show me that you really want to do it. And I'm going to make it hard for you to remember to do it every day. I'm going to distract you. I'm going to make it so simple you're not going to think it's important or remember to do it. So I always say gratitude is a platitude, and it works if you do it every day. But to take it to the next level is to work at gratitude, meaning every circumstance, situation, event, person, place, thing that occurs that you don't like or don't love, that other people don't like or don't love, if you're capable of finding the light, the love, and the lessons for it. In other words, as Bob Parsons, the founder of GoDaddy, when he exited for $4 billion, and he said to me, you know, Dave, if you love what you do, and you see me roll my eyes, I'm like, please don't say you'll never work a day in your life, because that's horse shit. He said, though, if you love what you do and you learn to love what you don't like or don't love, if you learn to love what other people don't like and don't love, and you do it every day and you never quit, life will tell you all its secrets. It'll give you its cheat codes. It'll make life easy. It'll take away the dis-ease and make it easy. And to that end, gratitude allows me to have the superpower of finding the best lesson in everything to help me progress towards where I want to be or better, not interfere with it. So you can use gratitude as a platitude and get some benefit from it. But if you use gratitude as a capability to find the light, the love, and the lessons, if you use gratitude as a perspective to make everything better, every detour becomes divine. Your time becomes divine. You dissipate and dissolve all the dis-ease by practicing intentionally gratitude beyond the platitude of it. I promise you, life will be easy.
Yeah. Yeah. This is so good. This obviously resonates a lot with me. It coincides with, you know, everything we wrote about in the book and everything you and I have been talking about, what we shared this week in Vegas. Hey, let me ask you this question. And, you know, when I'm around you, and I've asked every guest this, when I'm around you, the energy is different. You have a circle. You call it a community, your community. How important is that? How important is it to allow the right people into your community and maybe not allow others is not probably the harsh way of putting it, but just being really selective around who is in your community and who you surround yourself with. I know it's important to you. Tell me the importance of it.
Well, I think it's important to understand that we have different neighborhoods and different communities because there's some misguidance in the idea of these communities. So you talk about letting people in, letting people out. So I have certain communities for everyone. Free Friday training. Over 100,000 people register every Friday. I've been doing it for over 25 years. That community is for everyone. I don't curate that at all. But I use three criteria to figure out the proximity of the neighborhoods I want to be in, the position I want to play. So you've all heard you're the aggregate of the five people that you spend the most time with. Probably not true because of the way life works. What I like to tell you is, hey, according to subject matter, topic, or expertise, create a team that you're conscious of and understand your position on the team because you're going to be an aggregate doing for and learning from, buying from and selling for, and vice versa of that team. So, for example, I am the team captain on my family team. But there's several different teams I'm on where, you know, I'm the water boy, you know, I'm learning from, you know, when I'm on the Transformational Leadership Council with guys like Deepak Chopra and Jim Quick and, you know, all these amazing world thought leaders. Hey, I'm the water boy on that team. And I know my position on that team that's best benefiting me. And that neighborhood is important. Now, when I curate a VIP dinner or my TV show or the mastermind that I'm here in New York doing, that's a curated room. And I use three criteria to make sure that I am participating in the position I want and others are as well. So one is relativity, two is association, and three is the value that I get from feeding and bleeding. Because I used to think that if something bled me, fire it from my life. But that was stupid. You know, my kids bleed the shit out of me, but I get so much feeding from it. My mom's 81 with a bit of dementia. She's really bleeding me, but I get so much feeding out of it. And so when I'm looking at an evaluation of these three criteria in a neighborhood, a community, I'm evaluating that community, not only by the position I'm going to play, but also the participants in the neighborhood by relativity, association, bleeding and feeding value.
I want to open up because I know we're running out of time and I know we got at least one question up there. But if anybody wants to ask Dave a question, please really quick, put it in the chat because I know he's got to go too.
Can I offer something to the community? I just want to tell your community, look, I have the five daily practices. I have my book. And if anyone needs it, please email me. I will send it for free. If you send me a friend that you get to buy, pre-order Chad's book. If you just email me his name and say, hey, Steve Smith pre-ordered off of my recommendation, Chad's book, I will sign my book, send it to you, pay for shipping and my book as well, just for getting one of your friends to pre-order the book. Everybody can have the five daily practices. Put in the chat, my email's simple, david@dmeltzer.com. David@dmeltzer.com. Send me your friend's name and I will sign, send, pay for my book and shipping if you can get a friend to pre-order keep telling yourself. That's how important that book is.
So kind. David, you have the most generous heart. You heard him though. If you haven't ordered it, the QR code should be up. Yeah. Scan it right now, order it, and then send it to a friend and then email Dave. Ben, I believe, put the email in the chat.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave.
Okay. So really quick. I'm sorry. How long, and this could be a short answer. I've got two questions. How long did it take for you to shift your narrative or shift your story after losing $100 million? Was it a quick fix or a long journey?
I'm still on it and I'm progressing exponentially. But I started 0 to 1, took longer than 1 to 100. And I just decided that my behaviors would create the progress. Don't worry about the outcomes. You don't understand or know the outcomes.
What's interesting is you just said that, and I speak all the time. I put it in the book, and my team knows this, is that, you know, I run a lot of marathons, and people are like, well, how do you run the marathons, or how did you build a company? And they're starting to ask me these types of questions, the more success I have in my life and the more things I tackle. And I tell them all the time, it's not a miracle that I finish the marathons. It's a miracle that I ever even start. The challenge is most people getting from 0 to 1 is really, really hard for most people. Even for me, getting from 0 to 1 is really, really hard. Once you decide, once you commit, and I don't call it discipline, I call it devotion. Once you become devoted to the path and the journey you're on, it picks up steam really, really fast. I say, like, it really gets going, but it's the getting the starting and committing to this idea of this of betterment or this next version of yourself that it really, really takes time. And it really takes, to your point, faith in God.
Yeah, but you're a steward of that. And I've seen you with your own employees, you know, call them on their non-commitment. And one of the things I want to thank you for is my daughter, you know, has said multiple times, oh, I should run a marathon. And then was so impressed the fact that you run marathons. And I guess I didn't know she had done this. She had said to you, oh my gosh, you know, I'd like to run a marathon someday. And you pulled out your phone and you had her commit to running the marathon with you. And that's a special person. That's the difference between what I call the empty milers in the world and the extra milers. And the extra milers, they go the extra mile every once in a while, and they use that to justify why they never run a marathon, why they're not where they want to be. And then you have the empty milers that actually not only are committed themselves every day, but help other people make that commitment as well. And it's far less competitive to be an empty miler, and it's easy to justify why you are where you want to be when you are an empty miler and you make a commitment not only to yourself, but to others.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I'm blessed that I'll be able to run the marathon right alongside her. And she said, what's funny, she said, well, she said, you're going to run it a lot faster than I am. I said, no, I'm not. We're going to start this thing together. We're going to finish this thing together. If it takes us 1 hour, it takes us 6 hours, we will start the marathon together, and we will 100% finish the marathon together. And so thank you for even putting her in my circle.
Thank you. She looked at me and said, are you in? And I was like, whoa. I need some time.
I'm with you, Morgan. I'm with you. I'm a 5K guy. I'm committed to 5K.
Well, Dave, we'll go. We'll do the 5K together. I can commit to that right here and now.
All right. Let's get this next question.
All right. Last question, because I know we got to go. So how do you inspire younger generations to focus on impact and gratitude over profit?
No, I can't. I can't. But what I can do is walk the walk. So, you know, if I want to be like Mike, it's because Mike is an extraordinary basketball player and wins championships and MVPs. And so by me walking the walk, by me living in an amazing marriage, being healthy with 4 beautiful children, with more money than I ever dreamed of, with the freedom to react and the freedom to have what I want with who I want, when I want, and do what I want, and then offer my help to others and put out the content that is real, other people will want to be like Mike, or in this case, hopefully like Dave. So we elevate others by elevating ourselves. We encourage them to ask for help and to find people that sit in the situation that they want to be in, ask them for help. But I also inspire them to ask other people how they can be of service or value to them. I have one prayer in the morning. May God put at least 10 people in front of me that I can help. And may he put at least 10 people in front of me that can help me. And in the context of that neighborhood comes a people, a group of people, a community, a neighborhood, a frequency of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. And guess what happens in the monetary sense? They buy from each other and sell for each other, which allows them to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun, which is my mission, which is why I'm here today. Reach out to me and let's support my friend. Keep telling yourself the things that you want and do what it takes to allow them to be attracted into your life. Recollect, remind, and remember your greatest God. I promise you, you'll figure out what you're doing to interfere with it. Email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Pre-order your book. I will sign, send, and sign that book. Tell me what friend of yours pre-ordered it, and we're all in. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Man, David, I can't thank you enough, one, for coming on today, sharing your time, sharing your wisdom, but for being a great friend of mine. Thank you for, you know, obviously you wrote a great review of my book. You know, you're in my neighborhood. One of the things I will tell people, too, is subscribe to Dave's text. Dave sends out text all the time about events. I have been lucky enough to be asked and to be invited to some amazing dinners. I know you're doing one next week in New York. We're doing one in D.C. together. These dinners, by the way, are unbelievable. I'm saying 100 people in a restaurant. We had a 100-person restaurant. We had 100 people at this dinner in Santa Barbara that had me, had Joe Dispenza, had John Acuff, had Major, the amazing recording artist. 5 people sitting in a room of 100 people just having great conversation. These dinners happen, I swear they happen every week. They feel like they happen every week.
Everywhere
you go, there's a dinner. So he's going to be in a city that you are in. I can 100% assure you, in 2025, he'll be in a city you're in. And you can go to these dinners, just show up, like buy a ticket, go to these dinners. And it's cheap. I don't know. Like, it's nothing. And they're a couple hours long. It's unbelievable. Like, if you could pay $100 or whatever it is to sit at dinner with Joe Dispenza, I'm saying Brooke Jennings, you know, that works for us. She is all things amazing. All things amazing. She is in love with Joe Dispenza. He said Joe Dispenza single-handedly saved my life. She loves him. And I guarantee if she had the opportunity to sit in the room at dinner with 100 people with him, she could not get there fast enough. So get on his list. The crowd that he brings in, the community that he shares, it's nothing I've ever seen. And I'm so blessed that I get to be part of those dinners and get to speak at those dinners and be in your circle. I know we're doing one. Cannonball is sponsoring one in early next year with Joe Dispenza and John Acuff and some other amazing people. So make sure you keep your eyes out there. Dave, thank you very much. I can't express my love and gratitude for you. If you're on this call, make sure you right now, one, take a picture, take a screenshot right now. Hold on, get Dave, make a face. Like, oh, ready? All right, Dave's serious. I make a funny face. Post that, tag Dave, tag me. Tell us what you thought about this webinar. This is amazing. Listen, next week, to keep telling yourself, webinar continues. Next week, keep telling yourself, webinar continues. Next Thursday, it's going to be awesome. Register right now. Like, register, we sent a ton of emails out to remind you, but register right now. It's going to be absolutely amazing. So make sure you get on next week, next Thursday.
1 o'clock Eastern.
One o'clock Eastern. Morgan, any final thoughts?
We love you guys. We do. Thanks for joining us again.
Make sure you pre-order your copy of your book. Keep telling yourself, Dave, I'll see you in D.C.
See you in D.C., if not before. Yep. Thank you both. Congratulations.